But yes, let us introduce ourselves. I'm Daniel Mellado. I'm a software engineer at Red Hat, and I'm also trying to run up the Fedora's EBPFC group. We'll be discussing that a little later. Basically, what we wanted to speak about here is about the challenges that we have been dealing with when we were trying to package EBPF programs in Fedora. While this may seem, or I thought when I first started to this, it's just another program, let's go package it, it's going to be a spec file and that's it. It wasn't straightforward, so our plan is to walk through a little bit about how this works, challenges that we have found while doing so, and some solutions. And afterwards, we'll be happy to have some discussions, probably offline because of the time constraints. This is my colleague, Mikkel. He's also involved into packaging and also working for Red Hat, and I'll let him start.
Thank you. Okay, thank you, Danny. So good morning, everyone. So our plan is to talk a little bit about why we think that packaging EBPF can be hard, how we plan to solve it, and we will bring, give you a list of checklists that we created for when we work packaging EBPF applications. So EBPF is here. We think it can be a packaging nightmare for some people. So the thing is that EBPF is no longer optional. EBPF is everywhere. EBPF is already running most of our systems through systemd or using different CNIs or whatever that we are using. But the thing is that the use cases are growing a lot. And we want our distributions to become part of the EBPF's platforms, I would say, like how we as a distribution packages can take EBPF applications to the users. So usually the packaging paradigm for traditional software was to take the source, to compile it, create a binary and ship it. We were relying on known libraries like libc, libssl, libcool, or whatever, right? But in the case of EBPF software, it's a little bit different because the kernel itself is the library, it's a dependency, and the kernel has not a stable ABI, so it can be a problem, okay? Also, what we are trying with EBPF is to try to inject kernel models that behave as a user space application. So that's something new for many people. But at the end, we think that many users expect that they can just run DNF or whatever tool they use to install packages in their distributions and get the same feeling or experience with installing it. The reality behind that is that, as I said, kernel struct changes, BTF struct changes, and so on, and they also, we might have some capability issues that we need to define that distro can make easy, or say Linux policy, or things like that, that the users might find complicated to do it by themselves. So the stacks are high. If we do it wrong, system updates will break whatever software we are running. Monitoring or whatever the EBPF application was doing will fail, and users will lose the trust in the distribution. But if we do it correctly, we think that EBPF might become another boring infrastructure technology, like and like we are doing with other languages, like could be Go or Rust in Fedora, for example. We think that it should be installed once and run forever. And our goal at the end, as we will show, is that at the end, what we are trying is that the distro become EBPF friendly, like another citizen. So the main headaches is that the old way, the BPF compiler collection that was supposed, you were meant to use that at runtime to compile the applications that you were planning to use, the EBPF application you were planning to use at runtime. And the problem with that is that requires a lot of software to be installed in the system. Like we are talking about CLang, LLVM, and so on. And usually you don't want to have that kind of applications in a running server. It takes up to, in the case of Fedora, it was more than 2 gigabytes, and it's a lot. So as a distro, what we want is to have just a small pre-compiled binary that has minimal runtime, that will check everything for you, that will make you updates and other stuff easy. So we need to go to the second part, okay? The second headache is that as I was mentioning, the kernel doesn't have an ABA stability, so structs that we might depend on might change between releases. This is one example of how the process structs that is defined by the kernel changed between release 5.15 and 6.8 with PID field that changed the position. So if your application was running, was reading that position 16, it will read garbage with newer kernel. So we need to take care of that, okay? And then we need to make sure that the matrix of toolings that we are using is the correct one. That's something that distributions helps a lot to do, because it's not easy to maintain the compatibility between the application, libbpf, bpf tool, clang, and the kernel. So that's where we think that the distribution magic can help. So for that, we will rely on core, and Daniel will talk more about that.
Okay, so as my colleague was saying, this is not realistic, so I wouldn't like to be in a distribution, not even Gentoo, and having it to recompile every BPF program that I'm going to be packaging every time I just go and upload the kernel. So BPF provides a new tooling which should work in every modern Linux kernel distribution starting 6.7, which is called eBPF Core, which stands for compile once, run everywhere. So I wonder if it can be seen there quickly. Or it doesn't flicker for a while. But basically, let me try to, I'm going to be brave. So here we got the source code. This is our, yes, BPF program. We are just going to be using clang and BTF, which stands for BPF type format. This is just some kind of metadata, which would make use of kernel header information, and that would stop us having to rely on kernel headers on the running system. What does that mean? That means that, let's say, we're going to be compiling this using VCC or whatever. In the end, we're going to be having this file, which would be workable in any kernel. So not only I wouldn't have to go and recompile it over. And this is also really important when we think about the Fedora infrastructure. We got Koji and so forth, of course. And I wouldn't like for the Koji on any build system to having to go and download a lot of dependencies just for even building. And even while building is fine, I wouldn't like for me to having to go to a production cloud and having to have all those dependencies in runtime. So then goes libbpf. And libbpf would read this BTF, which I said is just some metadata, and would rewrite all this issue with the headers that we were seeing in the other slides. And so then we wouldn't have a kernel panic, basically. Once that happens, our binary would be working into all the kernel distributions. So what else? So here, as I was saying before, at compile time, if our code is just using core macros, we can just rely on here. And we let's say, again, getting back to the example that we were speaking before, if we are needing the pit here for that struct, that's not going to be hard-coded. It's going to be stored as the BTF header here in metadata. And in the end, it would just work, let's say, on Fedora 39, 40, 41, run 9, or OpenSUSE as well, probably. Basically, any Linux with a modern kernel. I guess it started in Fedora specifically in 39, but I need to check, probably in 38 too. And how does it work with the BPF? It would read the metadata, which is stored here, by the way. It would find the new struct here, and it would be fine and wouldn't do any kind of kernel panic. So this is a little bit the same as I was saying before, probably better explained here. So we have our source code, and we can just put it here. The BPF has core read. It will be read by clang. It's going to be compiled into our final guide. And this bytecode would be now fine, because it wouldn't be just going and trying to search this specific bit. Then when our BPF code is going to be loading, relying on BTF, also the kernel would be fine, and our bytecode would be just patched, and it would work across any kernel. So, before eBPF core or BTF, we were, again, relying on all these dependencies, even in runtime. Now we only need them for in build time. And in our packages, we wouldn't need to do any kind of build requests anymore, and just a requires. This is the, awesome. Well, I'll be going over there because I can't read. So, no, it's not there. It's a operator anyway. So this is basically the equivalent of dynamic linking. You'll see that on the slides. It's going to be available. I'll post a link. But anyway, this also helps us, like if there's any CV, let's say for the BPF, we wouldn't have to write that. It's going to be dynamically linked. How does it work for Fedora specifically? So all the infra is ready. As I was saying, this works Fedora 39 onwards and so forth. And if you, well, let me see here. Please stop flickering for a second. Boom. Can anybody hit that? Anyway, so here is, well, if you can see that, the BPF uses a pseudo file system, so it exposes itself there, and you'll be able to get that it's here, and you can just write that, and you're going to be having like this BTF headers here in the kernel. It'll be online. And as I was saying, damn it. Well, how does this relate to our spec file getting back to our... So we shouldn't have to rely on this static trouble, so because, again, when I'm just shipping a new RPM in CFS case, I wouldn't like to ship this specific metadata here on as a trouble there with the spec file, but as we are relying on BTF core, we can just go and use kernel call and kernel debug here internally, and this would be just getting the one from the proper one and patch it. Okay. Same thing for the build environment. So in kojimog/sys would reflect the build, not kernel. And as I was saying, I would like for this to be happening in Fedora's infrastructure because I would like for it to be having to, let's say we got this build node, which is koji. I don't know, it might be Fedora 43, runline, whatever, I don't care, whatever we have there. But what happens if we got a target of Fedora height? I mean, this kernel wouldn't be fine because this would be pre-BTF core, and this is target kernel, and the code would use in that, which is got added in 6.0. What happens here? CLAM would fail, and boom. How do we do that? Again, using BTF core, we would be able to get the kernel version directly from here, and just start to compress kernel image using this version, and we would be generating this header using BPF tool. This BPF tool command basically regenerates the bnlinux.header that we were speaking about before. And then I'm going to be heading back to Mikkel for some examples, and we even got a demo, and let's see if the Flickr allows us.
Okay, so for the sake of this presentation, we created a small BPF tool that is called Process Snoop, that all it will do is print in the screen all the commands that are launched in a system, okay? So we are not doing it in the scripting way I was telling before, the BCCA way, like we are not doing it at runtime. So we are doing distro mode. I will have zero dependencies other than libc and libbpf. I will generate a small 20K binary, and it will have everything on it, okay? It will be, it's just this simple script. It relies on the headers that we are generating in the script that I will, the spec that I will show you now, okay? But that's the important part, okay? The first line. But and the script is just this to create the BPF application. So what we call the golden standard, or what would be the whole somehow spec would be this one, okay? Code and everything is linked in the presentation. So we will have the build requirements to build the application. That will be the compilers and the kernel core and kernel devil. And we will require just libbpf, as I said, to be able to launch the eBPF applications. Then, as Daniel said, we are going to look after the kernel that we need to use and generate the headers there. And then we'll run this BPF tool to create a bytecode for the... to generate the headers... we will compile the bytecode of the eBPF, then we will create the headers of that eBPF applications that when we will use GCC to link against libbpf and create the final binary that will be running. Then there is a full script after. We have two options. I mean, we can just install the file, the binary file that has been created. We can set the capabilities while creating the spec that might allow regular users to just run it. The other option is just to launch it using systemd integration with a regular service. The only important part is that we need to define the capabilities and the the ambient capabilities. Okay? The good thing about using this kind of spec is that it will allow us to run the same spec and the same application against many different kernels. Okay, so sometimes we might be tempted to pin whatever releases we want to use to create a BPF because we might be afraid that C-Lang bytecode might change between versions or whatever, but we think that it's a good idea to have as open spec as possible and then rely on things like Coche or Koji or whatever to find the problems our code might have, okay?
So when that's the base, of course, things doesn't work as smooth as we wanted to, and we found a couple of edge cases. First of all, like some stuff, it depends on the eBPF programs themselves. So eBPF uses a map, which is a memory structure that is basically used in between both user space and kernel space. And what happens if I just go and update my BPF tool? It may be the case that, can it be seen here? Anyway, not really, but yeah. So if we stop a service, my BPF service may still be pointing to the old map, the new service starts, then boom. How do we handle that? So could you click there? Yeah. So this is an upstream requirement. This is something that it relies on not only of the spec file, but on the BPF coder developer application. So eBPF programs must be written to handle that and reuse existing maps. This is an example using just CBPF library, libbpf, but this is just a requirement not only for spec files, but just overall BPF programs. Yes, can you go ahead? Then I think this is important, and I was having another chat in another session yesterday, which is like kernel capabilities. So when we first started doing eBPF programs, we were using basically capsysadmin. This is legacy. Don't use this. It's basically caproot. You're giving root access to your BPF program, which you may not want to. Another option would be, so let's assume we are packaging an XDP program. We would need like capperfmom, capbpf, and capnetadmin. Okay, pretty much like root. There's a new change that we are going to be proposing to Fedora, which is like the system-wide usage of BPF tokens, which they don't only use kernel capabilities, but a new thing called allegations. And that means that as a root user or as an admin, you would be able to allow like non-root users to basically run specific eBPF programs with a specific, much more grained like permissions. I'm happy to discuss that as we are also running the eBPF group, and that's something that we are going to be proposing as a system-wide change for Fedora 44 or 45. But anyway, just FYI, this may be an issue. Yes, go ahead. Also, for assistant service, we would need to take that into consideration. Just for daemon, this may be enough. But again, if it's just an XDP program, it may not be enough. We may also need to get different capabilities for boot time, policy git, and of course, SE Linux, which I guess is the next slide. Yeah, here we got SE Linux. So far, by default, if your tool runs in a config domain, SE Linux would just deny all your BPF operations. And depending on what you want to do, it may be also denied. So you would need to go and add a companion, or another option that we were just thinking about is to add some global system-wide system policies for BPF, but that's another topic. Yeah, this is just an example. Well, of course, we would also need to detect the kernel. So I was speaking about BPF core, which I said it was totally okay for different kernels, but what happens if your kernel doesn't support BPF core? As I was saying, you would need to go and recompile your application for every different kernel, pre-core, and so forth, and even if that's somehow fine, basically you need to be aware of that when you're packaging if you want your packets to support legacy systems. So basically using required kernel higher than 6.1 should be fine. What happens when the kernel updates? Again, core comes to the rescue and it would just work. But if we got like some legacy kernels, it may or may not work depending on how the maps on headers have been changed. If you're just lucky, it may just happen to work. but it doesn't have to be. So this is something that you should take into consideration when creating your spec file for legacy systems. So I'm going to be handing over then to my colleague, and let's see if we got demo. Okay.
That's right. Okay, so this is the checklist we are following as packagers. So before packaging, we need to check if the application supports core, if make sure that it doesn't require any specific libbpf to that is bundled or that is statically requires a statically compiled libbpf. It's important also that eBPF will check what kind of license the application have, so it's important to check that, that everything is right at that level, and also that the headers are generated at build time, so we can make sure that we are using every release, every versions, every kernel version generated headers. This is really important. And then after we create the package, it's important that we set the correct minimal capabilities that SA Linux policy is created if it's required for that, that applications, that we are documenting any change that it, or any change that might affect, any change in the kernel that might affect the package and so on, so it makes maintenance much easier. And then, as we said, it's important that we test it in many different releases to make sure that we are not breaking anything. Quick reference card would be the spec that we already show on the systemd essentials, just as a one slide of how it should be done.
And last and just quickly, we as in the eBPFC group, we are working on both adding new macros to the spec file to support directly these eBPF new tooling spec files and BPF token, as I said. We're going to be proposing new changes for like for DOA 44 onwards, so please join our group if you want to help us into that. And we are totally open for contributions and, you know, basically feedback about that. So with that, we are running out of time. So thanks for attending, and we are open to any questions. Thank you.
No, I was going to repeat the question. So in Ubuntu is already packaging VM Linux headers. Why are we advocating to create the in the spec itself again and again?
That's basically, and I mean, that could be also done, but in, I was speaking specifically about the use cases for eBPF program packaging when not using BPF core. Because basically, it wouldn't just be able to reuse that directly or not without some specific things. What may happen is that if you don't use BPF core, is that you are changing that, and you might need to renew that for your specific packets. I mean, we can just discuss that offline because we're running out of time. But that's also an option that we would like to discuss in this new proposal that we are speaking. Thank you.
Any other questions? Which, so is are we already shipping this? My question would be which part of it? So no, you can. So we created already, as I said. Let me check. So code is already available in a small repo. So this is the bare minimal. Sorry, it's not okay. But yeah. So we have an example. We have also created. So it's not that one. But we also created a copper repo to build it against different versions and so on. So it's already, you are already able to use it. The thing is that the macros are not there yet, for example, to make things easier, but it should work. You can create the spec and the applications and so on, it should work. For example, this little demo application, we just compiled it yesterday. We built it against different Fedora releases and Apple releases, and we are able to run the same application with the same spec in Fedora 43 and in... I was in Alma 9 or something like that yesterday. So.
With this, we are running out of time, but we'll be stepping outside. And if anybody wants to keep it up, we'll be happy to reply questions. Thank you.
Thank you.